Have you heard of the little church that could? Join Pastor Bob Enyart at Denver Bible Church for Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., worship service from 10:50 until noon, and our Sunday evening Bible study at 6 p.m. Located at Two Roads School at 7180 Oak Street in Arvada, Colorado. Join us on Sundays as we study the meat of the Word of God, to worship our awesome Creator and to equip the saints for the service of the Lord.
How about them Broncos? Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Bob Enyart Live. And in studio, we have the Vice President of Colorado Right to Life, Leslie. How about them Broncos?
Oh, boy, was that a fun game?
That was so great. And, you know, I only got to watch the second period being the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Sundays are busy.
That's right.
And I watched the worst part of the game. The second half, Tim Tebow just beat up on the Oakland Raiders.
That was so fun. I actually only could listen to it on radio, and I'm not really a sports fan, but I'm so enthralled with what a great job Tebow's doing.
Well, Tim Tebow, and you know what? We're having audio difficulties, so I apologize to the audience. But Tim Tebow is a role model, and he's brought our family back to the Broncos. We had four of our seven boys watching the game and having a wonderful time of it.
Yeah, it was. It's just so fun to have the naysayers not really quite know how to respond when they keep thinking he can't do it and then he does it. It's just
There are all these Bronco fans that are wanting the Broncos to lose when Tim Tebow quarterbacks. And my 10-year-old Dominic was in a locker room. They play hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And an older kid, a big boy, was just trashing Tim Tebow.
Oh, no.
And so my 10-year-old said he wanted to ask him, are you saying that because he's a Christian?
Uh-huh.
But Dominic didn't want to say anything because the kid was big. You know, the kid was 11.
Oh.
And so Dominic decided it'd be wiser not to say anything. Smart kid we're raising.
Yeah.
Dominic is aware that there is a prejudice, a bias, a bigoted view against people who are openly Christian. If Denise Rodman, is that his name, the NBA
Denise
player?
Denise or Dennis?
Well, I saw him in a wedding dress, so I don't know if it's Denise or Dennis.
Ouch.
But if he takes the Lord's name in vain, everybody thinks that's great. Tim Tebow said yesterday after the game, he said, I first want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so if you honor Jesus Christ, then people don't like it.
That's right. He's so gracious, too, isn't he? I mean, he just says what an honor it is to be able to lead the team and to have a chance to play.
Yeah.
We're so grateful that his mom took such a principled stand and supported personhood in Colorado.
She supported Colorado's personhood amendment, and they had the Super Bowl halftime ad.
That's right.
Of valuing life that urged people to go to a website that says how important it is to respect the sanctity of life. So that's just great for the Tebow family. They're wonderful.
They sure are.
Then there's some sad news. A friend of this radio program has a terrible tragedy going on in their family, and we need to pray for this young gal, Laura Treem. But she's the one. Leslie, you heard the story, didn't you?
Well, I was actually in Mississippi last week, so I've just now caught up with the story. And what a beautiful young woman. What a tragedy that...
Yeah, she was hit. She was struck by the light rail downtown Denver at 4 o'clock, just about after this show. And she was on her way to work at the Cheesecake Factory.
Oh.
It was at Spear and Stout. And she's now in ICU at Denver Health. She's 21 years old. She's in stable but critical condition. Please pray for her, for Mike, his wife, her whole family, and for the doctors especially to have wisdom. She has a fractured skull, brain swelling. They've brought her internal bleeding under control. So there's a lot to be thankful for that she has such good care and, of course, so much love and support all around her. But please pray for Laura and the Treem family.
Absolutely. This family has been a strong, staunch supporter of life for quite some time, as I understand.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. In fact, KLTT, which we're on right now, and by the way, it's not their fault that we're having audio problems with Leslie's mic. We had that whole system checked out. Apparently, we need to do more work on it. We haven't figured out the problem. It's not KLTT. It's something in our studio here at Bob and Yart Live. And by the way, we're nestled in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains in our underground bunker.
That's right.
KLTT is the nation's most powerful Christian radio station. It's one of the top 10 most powerful stations in the whole country. And it's Colorado's most powerful radio station. At 50,000 watts, and the lower you get on the AM dial, the further the same wattage takes you. So KOA is at 850.
Mm-hmm.
That's way higher than 670.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's an honor to be on the station all this time. And KLTT, under the leadership of Mike Treem and the Crawford Broadcasting Company, has been strongly supportive of the unborn child, trying to protect those kids from being killed by Planned Parenthood.
That's right, and how great it is that their message travels as far as it does, and yeah. People get to listen to your podcast after the fact and spread the truth.
So, Leslie, we're having such a difficult problem with your sound. Why don't we do this? Why don't you share with us maybe the most important thought on your mind for the personhood vote for tomorrow in Mississippi, and then maybe you could, I don't know how to say it politely.
Just stop talking.
Maybe you could get out of the studio and give me back my show.
Absolutely. No. I just want to remind people to watch Bob tonight on 9 News at 5 o'clock.
Oh.
He had a really great quote today. They came. I'm encouraged that they came over to interview you today and ask, what about this important vote in Mississippi? I guess they everybody's kind of watching, all eyes on Mississippi. And Bob said, well, somehow human rights movements have a tendency to displace bureaucrats.
How was it that human rights movements have a tendency to make government bureaucrats irrelevant?
There you go.
So here you have a government bureaucracy that's going to try to continue to kill unborn children, but human rights movements have a way of trampling over those government bureaucrats to assert rights that are inalienable that we have because we're people from our Creator.
Right. Praise God.
All right. Thank you, Leslie Hanks. And sorry about our technical problem. Sorry to Leslie and to the audience. We will do our best. In fact, we'll have to not get a guest on until we figure out the problem and solve the problem. So any audio engineers out there, you know, there's a longtime audio engineer from Channel 7 who is just a dear friend. In fact, I think he was with Channel 7 for over 20 years, and he's helped us out on many occasions when he's been listening and hearing an audio problem, and he shows up, but a dear friend, first name is Dave, and he comes on over and helps us. So, Dave, if you're out there, we need your help. Okay. Now, I'd like to go to an audio clip. This is a very brief clip. You know, the U.S. Supreme Court has said there's this fair use policy. If there's something in the news and it's newsworthy, if you use a brief clip, if you don't diminish the value, the economic value of the original work, if you're not selling it and so on, there's a test of five things, then you could use it. Well, this clip is only 16 seconds long, and it's from CBS News Today. The reason I want to share it with you is for two reasons. One, Les Riley, who's a dear friend of Bob and Yart Live and the president of Personhood Mississippi, Les Riley is on the clip, and they're asking him about abortion for rape and shouldn't women be able to kill a child conceived in rape? Now, of course, that's about 0.5%, really about 0.33% of all the children who are killed for allegedly that reason, 0.33%. So they don't care about abortion for rape. They care to use that as a wedge so that they can kill any child they want to kill for any reason. That's why they use the issue. The people who advocate this, it's not as though they're saying, okay, we agree all other abortions should be stopped. So that's their motivation. Les Riley gives a reason why we should not allow abortion for rape, but then there's a woman who they identify, and she's pro-abortion. She advocates that it should be legal to kill at least some kids. It's her statement that I find so very encouraging. Even though she's completely against us, it's the truth, the reality that she now has to confront, that Planned Parenthood has to confront. It's a reality that just a few years ago, nobody had to confront, because the pro-life movement had conceded the children that are conceived by criminals. They had conceded the tiniest children who are being killed. In other words, they had waved the white flag and they said, okay, for those kids, but we want to save these other kids. So now these children are back and their lives are being protected. At least that is the goal, to protect these kids too. So let's hear this.
We don't have the death penalty in Mississippi for rape. Why would we punish the rapist child?
That position offends Kristen Hemmons.
People on the S side keep saying to me, you know, well, don't punish the baby, punish the rapist, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I do know. Don't punish the baby. And we'll play that clip again in a little bit. We'll play that again in a little bit. But don't punish the baby, punish the rapist. See, to be a liberal in America, you can't support executing the rapist. And you can't support loving the baby. You have to support the right to kill the baby, but you'd love and protect the rapist. You'd care for him. You'd keep him warm in winter, cool in summer. You'd educate him and medicate him and entertain him. Make sure he has lawyers to defend his every legal concern. But you'd kill the baby and protect the rapist. A biblical Christian would say, you know what? We need to love and protect the baby and punish the rapist. Could we hear that again? Because so Les Riley begins, he's asked about abortion for rape. He gives an answer to that. And then we hear what now, because of personhood, what the pro-aborts are having to respond to.
We don't have the death penalty in Mississippi for rape. Why would we punish the rapist child?
That position offends Kristen Hemmons.
People on the S side keep saying to me, you know, well, don't punish the baby, punish the rapist, you know.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly right. She goes on to say, we're not misrepresenting her in any way. She goes on to say that I think you should have the right to kill the baby, because we should not care for the baby because the baby's father is a criminal. That's her position. But that's wrong. The baby is innocent, and you don't punish the baby, the child, for the crimes of the father. And that is the foundation of civilization. Do you know that if you go back a few thousand years to the Mesopotamian Valley and you look at the ancient codes, the ancient laws, as in the Code of Hammurabi, they have statute after statute where you kill the child for the crime of the father. That's how the law worked back then. Now, this was corrected by God's lawgiver, Moses, who in scriptures explicitly states that you do not punish the child for the crime of the father. You do not kill the child for the crime of the father. Whereas the pagan code would say, for example, if an architect builds a home and the home collapses and kills the daughter of the homeowner who purchased the home, then to punish the architect, you kill his daughter. That's what the law says. And there are other laws. There are multiple laws like that that we have. That's wrong, of course. And that was corrected in the Bible 3,500 years ago in the laws of Moses, who was God's lawgiver. Praise God that now, because of personhood, the discussion is about the baby and the baby's innocence and the baby's right to life. That hasn't been the discussion during all these years when the pro-life movement was taken over by lawyers and fundraisers and politicians, when the discussion was whether or not you should wait 24 hours before you have the abortion, or get your parents' permission and then you can have the abortion, or view an ultrasound and then you could have the abortion. I mean, these laws, if it's not murder, these laws are insulting to women. Why should you have to look at this ultrasound before you make a decision as to whether or not to take out your kidney? Why do you got to look at an ultrasound? But if it's a baby, then it's murder, and then waiting 24 hours is so completely irrelevant and undermines the fundamental injustice. It obscures it. So I'd like to look at this article in a pro-abort, a liberal publication called The American Prospect. There's an article titled Moment of Conception, and it's about the personhood movement. This has just come out, and Mississippi's personhood amendment and their vote tomorrow is what spurred this article. So I'd like to share excerpts of this with you. Moment of Conception. On April 17, 2007, the Supreme Court upheld a national ban on partial birth abortion. Now, why would a personhood article start with a four-year-old story on the PBA ban? Well, it's pretty interesting why. They point out that the pro-life movement had spent 15 years and more than a quarter of a billion dollars getting Congress to pass the PBA ban, and that the court's 2007 ruling was the movement's greatest legal victory in decades, a significant step toward overturning Roe v. Wade, but not all abortion opponents were celebrating. Enter Colorado Right to Life. Among the unenthused was Colorado Right to Life, which belongs to the personhood wing of the pro-life movement, promoting the idea that the unborn is a person from the moment of conception. The ban on partial birth abortion, according to Colorado Right to Life, was part of a failed strategy of whittling away at Roe v. Wade. Worse, it was unconscionable. Unconscionable because if we're talking about killing Jews in Germany, we spend 15 years saying you can't gas them with Zyklon A. That's the law, that we spend 15 years and $250 million to pass a law that says you cannot gas them with Zyklon A. And so we finally pass the law, and the concentration camp commandants, they say, all right, we'll use Zyklon B. And that's it. So what did you do for 15 years? You took in a lot of money, hundreds of millions of dollars. You used it to pay bloated salaries and fully funded retirement programs, but you didn't save a single victim of the Holocaust. And the same things happened here. That's why Colorado Right to Life was among those pro-life groups that said that the whole PBA fiasco was unconscionable. And if you want to get a summary of all that, just go to AmericanRightToLife.org/PBA. That's it. AmericanRTL.org/PBA, and there it is. And you'll see James Dobson, who is the law's leading proponent, he wrote after they won, ending partial birth abortion does not save a single human life. Now, why didn't he say that when they were taking in tens of millions of dollars over 15 years to pass the ban? Why didn't he say that then? That, by the way, you know, before you send in that check for $250, this will not stop a single abortion. We just want to make that clear to everyone. Why not? Why didn't National Right to Life ever say that? Continuing with this article at prospect.org, several like-minded activists wrote a public letter to James Dobson, head of the Colorado-based evangelical powerhouse focused on the family, which had pushed the ban. The letter ran in newspapers in Colorado and around the country. America has killed 20 million children during this long distraction, all in pursuit of a ban that from the beginning never had the authority to prevent even a single abortion. Please stop foisting onto the church the falsehood that this gruesome ruling will, quote, protect children. Because that's what Dr. Dobson had stated when the Supreme Court made their ruling. After Focus on the Family received this open letter, Dr. Dobson, within a couple days, wrote and put it in his newsletter that ending partial birth abortion does not save a single human life. So he conceded that. He said the day the ruling came down, Gonzalez v. Carhart, he said that it protected children, which was not true. This decision, Dr. Dobson, to use your word, is more Nazi-esque than the PBA ban that it regulates. The decision was the most violent ruling ever in the history of the U.S. Supreme Court. If you read their Gonzalez v. Carhart ruling, I've had Christians tell me that they got sick reading the ruling because it's a virtual late-term abortion manual. The Supreme Court justices, they didn't do this with Roe v. Wade. They go through and describe all the ways that you can kill the baby. Just because they're banning partial birth abortion, they say, doesn't mean you cannot kill the same baby in all these different ways, and they describe those ways. They literally describe ripping the baby's arms off his body and ripping the baby's legs off his body or injecting a poison into the baby's chest, in his cardio sac, in his heart, and killing the baby that way. Or they say, you can't pull the baby out to the neck and kill it, but you could pull the baby out to the belly button and kill it. That's still legal. So reading the ruling makes you sick if you care about right and wrong, if you care about the innocent. If you have any love for an innocent child, reading the Supreme Court ruling makes you sick. There's never been anything like this brutally wicked Supreme Court ruling that Focus on the Family was celebrating. And still to this day, they want to claim it as a big victory, but thanks to Colorado Right to Life, American Right to Life, American Life League, and so many other groups, Missionaries to the Preborn, Operation Rescue National, Flip Benham, all those folks, the pro-life movement, for the most part, stopped about 4 years ago bragging about their PBA victory because it was a PBA scam. This article goes on, retaliation against Colorado Right to Life was swift. National Right to Life, whose support of the court's ruling was also denounced in the letter, removed its Colorado chapter from the national organization. You should see that story on Colorado Right to Life's website, Hostility Met with Hospitality. What a great article about the hospitality suites that Colorado Right to Life held at National Right to Life's annual conventions in those years. Mainstream anti-abortion groups stuck to their strategy of gradually weakening Roe until it could ultimately be repealed. Of course, they were gradually strengthening Roe, of course, because they were pruning the abortion weed and strengthening its root. When you stop partial birth abortion, you make the whole abortion industry look more humane, so it could survive longer. Even the pro-aborts admit this. But the rift over partial birth abortion was evidence of a growing divide within the movement. A growing divide. Back then, in 2007, I remember Colorado Right to Life issuing a press release that was titled, A Rift Opens in the Pro-Life Movement. That was in 2007. Now we have a leading pro-abortion publication, The American Prospect, publishing The rift over partial birth abortion was evidence of a growing divide within the movement. And you know what? Today it's a chasm. It's no longer a rift. It's a chasm. It energized personhood advocates to coalesce around a new strategy. And the new strategy was the original strategy, by the way. Partial birth abortion was the perfect picture of the failure of the pro-life movement. And this article goes on. I'm running out of time, but American Right to Life was created shortly after the Supreme Court decision as a rival to National Right to Life. Personhood was the alternative to regulating abortion. 4.5 years later, the personhood movement is poised for its first major victory. On November 8th, after this magazine goes to press, Mississippi voters are expected to approve Amendment 26. Now, please pray. We've got people in our audience around the country making phone calls, even as we speak, to Mississippi voters to remind them to get out and vote yes for life on 26. Here's prospect.org and their assessment that Mississippi is poised to pass Amendment 26. By the way, the Washington Post today, about 3 hours ago, the same thing, Mississippi poised to pass personhood amendment, and they call it America's first personhood amendment. And that's exciting because that means they think there's probably going to be more, and there is, because this is a bona fide movement. The measure would establish the personhood of the fetus from the beginning of biological life and outlaw all abortions without exception. And the article goes on to trace the origin of the personhood movement to the U.S. Supreme Court's PBA ruling. And that is extremely accurate, because there have been people, Christians, pro-lifers, advocating for the personhood of the unborn child for decades, but they had been obscured by National Right to Life and their multi-million-dollar fundraising effort based on regulating child killing. And it's a bad law if it ends with "and then you could kill the baby." Well, once they finally had their ultimate victory in the PBA ban, it all came crashing down on their heads. God bless you.
Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.